Well, hello there and a very warm welcome to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post in association with Free Super Tips. Back of the net once again. You're on right on trend, Steve. We're having winner, losing week, winner, losing week. Back of the net. Laurie Cantor, 20-1 last week. Take a bow, my man.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, good week, bad week, good week, bad week, good week, bad week. Last week, a good week. Thanks to Super Laurie Cantor. I can't stop singing the song. Super Laurie Cantor. I just cannot stop singing that. I love Laurie Cantor. Long live Laurie Cantor.
God bless, there was no second verse. That's all I will say. Right, you, of course, here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Do remember to like, comment, and subscribe. And we love the comments, right? I know you love the comments, Steve. I'll go through some of them. Plenty of people following in. Cantor at a canter. I'm not sure it was at a canter, but we'll get on to that. Great work, Steve, from Frankie Burton. Nice to see a playoff go so easily. We've got Luke Harris. Well done, Steve. Get your canter on. Dancing Brave was the canter in a canter. Bill Angel says, great tip again. Filling my boots lately on the DP tour. Shannon Hinge says, great call, mate. Got up deluxe on canter. I think that might be double. The Mushroom says, nice one, Steve. Thank you. Alan Power, cheers, Steve. Mark Waller, great pick. I know you've been for them, Steve. We love to see people following in and getting the cheddar.
We do. No, it's great to see so many people get involved. And Aaron Markham is my friend from America. He still wants the merchandise. We must get the merchandise out, the Sweet Spot merchandise. We need to get our superiors onto that. So thanks for the reminder, Aaron. We must do that. There's a great vibe about the Sweet Spot community at the moment, and I love it.
Well, you're banging winners in left, right and centre, Steve. That's always going to help morale, I think.
That's it. Now we're here for the winners, and hopefully we can keep our momentum this week. But,
Of the golf, what you been up to, Steve? Any darts action? I saw there was a little bit of darts. Did you get involved in that?
Yes. The darts was a downer. The golf very good. The darts are downer. Luke Littler brought me down to earth on Sunday afternoon. It was a very challenging Sunday for me actually, Dave, because it was my dog's first birthday party. It was Coco's first birthday party, which took place in a remote field in Dorchester. About 11:30 a.m. on Sunday morning was that party, and Laurie Cantor had just missed a very short birdie putt at the 10th hole. So then I went to the party, and I was barking on my way to the party, as was the dog, because I was infuriated by these chances were going begging. But then when I got back from the party, Pablo Larrabal was just going up the 72nd hole, and the rest is history.
As you know, I love dogs.
Yes.
I've never gone to a birthday party for a dog, though.
Have you not? No, this was a big event. My daughter organised it. And we went to this field where Coco could run around, and like there's obstacle courses that she could play on with other dogs that were invited to the party. There were cakes. Right. There were cups of tea. It was a massive event, which I tried to get fully invested in, but obviously had a little glance at the smartphone occasionally to check on Laurie Cantor.
It's an interesting question of how much this party may have cost you, Steve.
My daughter's got a very, very clever way of convincing me to do anything she wishes, she had such a good time, and Coco seemed to enjoy it. But I don't think there'll be a second birthday party. I don't think we can make this an annual event because it's quite classy.
Not unless you start tipping winners every week rather than every other week. Let's put it
absolutely
that way. This is a big week of sport. Do you get involved in the Super Bowl? Is that a thing for you?
No. I don't follow the Super Bowl. I used to be a Chicago Bears fan when I was 10 years old, and then that sort of faded away. There's a big aeroplane going over. Is it my house or your house? Can you hear that? Can you hear that, listeners?
It must be yours. It's not my house. It must be yours.
Is it my house? Yeah, it's quite a serious aeroplane, low-flying aeroplane there. But no, Super Bowl not on my agenda. But I am aware of it, and I'm aware of the impact it'll have on the Phoenix Open.
Yes, well, I was going to say, yeah, hand in hand, Sunday, I'm sure there'll be plenty of people putting a real serious dent in the sofa.
Well, that's it. They get the Phoenix Open done just in time for the Super Bowl. So you can watch the Phoenix Open on Sunday. Wild atmosphere at that event. And then we can move on to the Super Bowl if you want to watch whoever's playing. Is it the Chicago Bears v. Miami Dolphins?
I'm not. I was hoping you was going to give me something, maybe a bet for the game. I don't know. I'm not across it at all. Other than
No.
Is Taylor Swift's boyfriend involved? That's about the extent of my knowledge.
Possibly. Maybe Taylor Swift does the halftime entertainment. That's always a big interest, yes. I believe. We're not going to give you any Super Bowl insights on this broadcast, but we'll give you golfing insights, I'm sure.
Yes, right. Before we look forward, we will look back as ever, and we are going to start with the Bahrain Championship. And your man, talk us through Laurie Cantor, not quite cantering home, but getting the job done.
Well, I mean, he's swinging like God, Dave, as we discussed last week. His ball striking has been absolutely top-notch this year. He was brilliant at the Team Cup, you might remember. Significant contribution to Great Britain and Ireland's winning that. Hugely impressive on his way to third place in the Dubai Desert Classic when he delivered place money for us. And the class of the field last week, 68, 69, 68, 69. And then he won the playoff by two shots, Dave. Relaxing playoff I've ever had. You know, the other two players in the playoff each made a bogey. Laurie made a birdie. You know, the Laurie ran over his rivals. a 10-ton truck running amok. Morrissey would consider it a pleasure and a privilege to be killed by that Laurie. But I'm not sure Pablo and Daniel Brown found it a pleasure and a privilege. I mean, yeah, Laurie Cantor, the runaway truck. Long live Laurie Cantor.
And he was respected in the market. He wasn't a favourite. I think he was fourth in at 20-1. And this week, which we'll get onto, he's respected in the market. He's a big dog now.
Yeah, we got a big discussion about Laurie Cantor in the forthcoming DP World Tour event. You're going to have to stop me from singing that song. It's so addictive when you're just singing Super Laurie Cantor for as long as possible. I mean, it was a good job Luke Littler lost in the quarterfinals of the darts last week. He lost to Johnny Clayton, which really sort of suddenly stopped my singing. And I think the wife and children were pleased that I had stopped singing about Laurie Cantor. So Luke Littler did him a favour.
Well, any other takeaways? I mean, we've got to talk about Pablo Larrazabal. He's a player of immense talent, and he kind of just dips in and out of form, appears every now and again. He might win an event maybe once a year. You know, he's a player that, you know, we spoke about before. I think Bruce had a soft spot for him. I've had a soft spot for him in the past as well. And he looked back to somewhere near his best.
Well, he's a prolific champion, and the tournament's in the palm of his hands going up the 18th there when he's found the fairway. Two putts for victory, but I think it showed it's very easy to get tentative on the first putt, on the lag putt, isn't it, when you've got two putts for victory. It reminded me of Nico Echeverria in the Sony Open, because he had two putts from the fringe and he felt two putts was enough to win because Nick Taylor was well away from the hole. So it's very easy to leave him short. I was watching it with my lady wife and I said, our only hope here is him leaving this woefully short. And it's exactly what happened because you just try to tickle it towards the hole, isn't it? If he needed to birdie it to win, it would have been a much more purposeful strike. Pablo, it shows it can happen to anyone because he's a prolific champion. Yeah. And you'd expect him to two putt from there, but he got the twitches and we thank the Lord for that. And then Laurie Cantor was an emphatic winner in the playoff.
Right, anything else? Anything else from that event?
Well, I mean, you mentioned Cantor's position in the betting last week. There were three players ahead of him, two of them were really disappointing. You know, Patrick Reed, we discussed Patrick Reed. You know, Jocelyn for anti-post favouritism last week finished 60th of 68 weekend qualifiers, a third round 76. I think Reed might have burned himself out. He's played every DP World Tour event this year. He's chasing those world ranking points. He's only moved up 18 spots in the world rankings. He's 114th in the world ranking. So I think Reed's going into the start of his live campaign this week in pretty low spirits. It hasn't been mission accomplished on the DP World Tour. And then Thunderbear Olsson, anti-post favourite at the start of last week, missed the cut by six shots, Dave. And I think that underlines the importance of scheduling. I always put great stock on how fresh players are going into events. You know, a lot of casual observers look at golf as just a relaxing leisure pursuit. But professional golf, very different. It's demanding. You have days preparing for the tournament. You have 72 holes of action, 5 hour rounds, mental challenge. And yeah, I think Olsson and Reid just look burnt out to me. Remember, Olsson played in the Team Cup, then Dubai, then Ras Al Khaimah, then Bahrain. So yeah, he's taking the week off at last.
Yeah, it is a big factor. You're plotting the travelling that goes on. Listen, these fellas are probably travelling in real good facilities. However they're travelling, first class, they're not sitting in economy. But even so, you've got to settle in. You've got to find where your accommodation is. As you said, the preparation's got to go in at the course.
Yeah.
Everything's, all the ducks have got to be in a line.
Yeah, that's it. It's a mental game as much as anything. Concentration. I mean, for us, golf's just a little bit of fun. We normally play just one round, don't we? And then we're off. A little bit of fun and games. But yeah, it's a mental examination for these guys. And you must keep an eye on the schedules.
Yeah, or you can put your ducks in a row. Either way, you put them in a line or put them in a row. Right, let's move on then to Pebble Beach. And Rory got the job done, playing alongside his mate, Shane Lowry, which we'll get onto. I think that might have been a factor, I don't know. 21 under and back to, I thought, some of his very best golf I've seen in a long time.
Oh, I'd agree. It was great to see Rory looking so solid. You know, Pebble Beach is not a course which plays to his strengths. California is not a state in which he's had much success, but he was so measured throughout last week. He was playing percentage golf. His driving was as excellent as always. His short game was sharp. And you could see how thrilled he was to win at a course that's, you know, like a bucket list track. You know, Pebble Beach, an iconic venue. He hasn't won at many prestigious golf courses, Rory. You know, he's come close at St. Andrews, of course, in the Open. He's threatened at Augusta. But, yeah, this is... this is a category one golf course that he's won at. And yeah, he was thrilled afterwards because it shows he can win anywhere. You know, his game is more well-rounded than ever. Events like Pebble, yeah, we talked about it last week, lessen his advantage off the tee. If he can win at Pebble Beach, he can win anywhere. I think it's a huge confidence boost for McIlroy going forward. I mean, I can talk very enthusiastically about this because we backed him going into the final round. You know, Racing Post Plus, the members, we tipped McIlroy at 9-4 on Sunday morning, and we tipped the McIlroy Shane Lowry straight forecast, Dave, at 12-1. So I've thoroughly enjoyed watching the two great friends, enjoy each other's company and play so well together. I think it was a factor. I've never seen McIlroy so relaxed in a final round. All week he was just buzzing, just bouncing around, you know, talking to the CEOs in the Pro-Am earlier in the week. He made a hole in one. You know, it was just a joyous week for Rory McIlroy, and it, you know, really encouraging for the season ahead.
Just a wholesome human being, I think, Rory McIlroy. And I don't know why. I mean, it was his 27th win on the tour, and I still, I don't know, I warm to him and I almost feel sorry for him. Like, if you've not got a horse in the race, you're always rooting for him because of what's gone on in the past, all the mental scarring. You just want him to win.
Yeah, and it clearly means a lot to him. You know, golf has been his passion, obviously, from a very young age, and it still means an awful lot. He's so consistent. He's been a top-level player for so long. And, you know, I'm delighted that he's in our majors acca. You know, a lot of people at the start of the year questioning whether, you know, why we put Rory McIlroy in our majors acca. You know, it's been such a long drought. But the way he performed last week and the way he performed in the Dubai Desert Classic, it was a lovely rush-shedding performance. The final round in Dubai was really impressive. It was just course fit last week that put us off. But he's in our majors acca for the USPGA at Quail Hollow. I mean, he'd be licking his lips about that. He's obviously going to be licking his lips about Royal Port Rush for the Open. You know, he's got two majors this year that he's got a huge chance of success in. And I love the way he was talking. You know, his media conference afterwards is just glorious because he's talking about mental discipline. He's talking about course management. He had bogey-free rounds. I mean, Saturday and Sunday were such contrasting challenges. It was really windy on Saturday. The weather on Saturday was surprisingly bad. He handled it superbly. And then on Sunday in the calmer conditions, he just, you know, he used his muscle when he needed. The 14th hole, you see him on the 14th hole, Dave. I mean, his drive on the 14th was the drive of the season so far. He made an eagle on the 14th to kill that tournament. Yeah, on the other holes, there was a discipline about him, and he doesn't care about being boring anymore. This was the key thing I was listening to in the media comments. He wants to be more like Scottie Scheffler. He's been inspired by Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler is a boring golfer, Dave. He just makes no mistakes. His course management is magnificent. He has loads of bogey-free rounds. McIlroy's looked at that and thought, right, I'm much more entertaining than Scottie Scheffler. People love watching me play, but why do they like watching me play? Because I'm up and down like a yo-yo. I attack. He doesn't want to be like that anymore. He wants to be as boring as Scottie Scheffler. I mean, you saw it on the 72nd hole last week, Dave. My word. He's got a 3-shot lead on the 72nd hole. It's a par five. He took a 5-iron off the tee, a par five. Percentage golf, boring golf, winning golf. You know, the McIlroy of old may have taken a driver, try and finish with a flourish. I'm so excited to see McIlroy happy to be more boring. I think he's going to have it. I think he's going to
listen. That might have happened on the last hole, but he's still quite adventurous and just massive off the tee. You spoke about some of his drives. I mean, I enjoy just flicking through social media and just seeing some of the traces. They're obscene.
Yeah. Well, try and find that 14th hole coverage because that performance is incredible. That's a really dangerous par five. A lot of players come unstuck on the 14th at Pebble Beach, rack up big scores. He bullied that hole with an amazing drive. And then 7-iron, I think it was in, and then an eagle putt. It was measured aggression. His course management was magnificent. He timed the approaches when he stepped it up again. I think he's a massive threat for the rest of the season in everything. I think Scottie Scheffler would have been a little bit woo. Scottie Scheffler's had it all his own way, and he's like, blimey. Yeah, I've never seen McIlroy start the year so impressively. You know, all the build-up to the Masters is normally like him trying to find his game. He's found it already. He's just got to maintain it now over the few months before the Masters, and then we'll all be getting excited again. He's got a new ball in the bag, Dave. Did you see that?
What's he playing?
He's playing a new ball. It's a tailor-made ball. It's just different version of the TP5, and he was messing around with it at Michael Jordan's golf club in the Grove. So he was messing around with it last week, or the week before last, sorry. And he just found that he'd love this ball, and it comes out lower, so a lower launch angle, but is spinnier, which is, you know, the dream ticket for a player who's looking for more control. You know, McIlroy's got power to burn. He was the longest drive in the field by an absolute mile last week. Not literally, I think he was about 19 yards, averaging 19 yards longer than anyone else in the field, which is incredible in itself. So he's always got the power. So I like this idea of moving to a ball which gives you more control. I can't be more excited than I've never been so excited about a McIlroy campaign. Yeah, I think he's definitely going to win a major this year.
And, I did tell you, I think he's going to win all of them. So
he's going to win all of them. Yeah.
That's what we're going for. Well, maybe, domination.
Maybe. But I think he's had a psychological effect on Scheffler. We'll come to Scheffler in the Phoenix Open preview. But I think Scheffler would have been a bit intimidated by what we saw last week.
Well, I enjoyed him telling Scottie Scheffler, the chef, that he should just get a chef. You know, they were talking about the injury that he picked up. And
yeah. The injury was done rolling a wine bottle on the pasta. I don't know if you've ever made fresh pasta.
Would you have a chef, Steve? If you was at that level, definitely, you'd have to have a chef.
Yeah. Oh, definitely have a chef. Yeah, I'd have something for everything. I wouldn't be doing anything. I wouldn't be wiping my bottom, Dave. I'd have a person for everything, Dave. And he should get a chef, but maybe he likes doing the pasta. I don't know.
I'm sure he wipes his own backside as well. So we'll leave the chef. We'll come. Well, no, it sounds like we're going to come back to the chef.
We'll come back to the chef.
Okay, right. Should we look ahead then, or anything else to add about? I mean, the course. I spoke to someone this morning. In fact, that's actually played the course, and it's just one of them that I'd love to go and even just be a spectator, let alone play Pebble Beach. Iconic.
Absolutely, and you'd probably putt like Justin Thomas if you went there, Dave. I mean, Justin Thomas, yeah, obviously when you get your number one in, Laurie Cantor was our number one, and then at the halfway stage, I had a hope that Justin Thomas could also win and we'd have the double because he holed a bunker shot on the final hole of round two, and he's just staying close enough, but his weekend putting performance was abysmal, and I don't think I can put myself through Justin Thomas again for certainly not this week. He's playing this week. We'll come to Justin Thomas. We'll come to everything, Dave.
Okay, right. Right, we're going to start then by looking at the Qatar Masters. Mixed bag of tricks here when we look through some of the previous winners. Talk to us about the track, Steve, and what sort of player we should be looking for.
Doha Golf Club, Qatar, 7,508 yards, par 72, four par fives, the traditional home of the Qatar Masters. We've been coming here since 1998. They switched to Education City Golf Club in 2020 and 2021. We've been back at Doha from 2022 onwards, an exposed desert track. The weather forecast crucial because in windy conditions, it can be difficult. Yeah, we got sunny, warm weather for all 4 days, but it's going to be windy for at least three of those days. I think there's some let up on Friday, but yeah, breezy. So accuracy and control is what is required here. We've got a field of 144 going to post.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the wind and what sort of play, you know, maybe a kind of links type play area. How windy are we expecting it to be?
Yeah. We do. Apart from Friday, the wind's going to be very stiff. And even on Friday, there's going to be bits and bobs. So, yeah, you have to be adept in the wind to succeed here. That's been proven in the past. It's normally windy here.
Okay, right. Let's have a look at the market then. And your man, Laurie Cantor, is the 12-1 favourite. 22's Jordan Smith. Johannes Veerman, 25s. Campillo, 28s. Rosner is around about a 33-1 chance as well. Very, very competitive, this one. Steve, how many in the team?
Three selections, Dave.
Okay, right. I'm assuming we're not going with your man again. So who's the main selection?
Laurie Cantor! Never assume, Dave. It makes an ass out of you and me. Super Laurie Cantor. Why would you think we're not going for Laurie Cantor, Dave? Back-to-back wins are coming for Laurie Cantor. He won the Bahrain Championship last week, despite holding hardly anything. Look at his putts per greens in regulation stats from last week, Dave, which is a great measure because he was finding most greens in regulation. He was the 62nd best putter in the field in round one. He was the 79th best putter in the field in round two, 17th in round three, 55th in round four. So many chances went begging. That's why I was barking like my dog on the way to her party on Sunday, because short putts were being missed. And he was setting up so many opportunities. Despite missing all those putts, he's carded four rounds in the 60s. He's birdied the first playoff hole, claimed his second DP World Tour title. You know, what is Laurie Cantor going to be capable of, Dave, if he starts holding putts? You know, he hasn't been working with his putting coach very long. David Howes is putting coach, who's been doing Sky Sports commentary as well. If they find a solution, if Howler and Cantor can find a solution to the putting, then Cantor's got immense potential. He's by far the highest ranked player in this field, Dave. He's world number 51 now. He's on the brink of penetrating the world's top 50 for the first time. He must be sensing the chance of a Masters debut, Dave. If he gets in the top 50 and stays in the top 50 the week before the Masters, he's in the Masters. So I think that's a huge incentive to stay on your game, be at full throttle, because we talked about scheduling. I think he's got plenty left in the tank because he skipped Raz Al-Khaimah, Dave. How do you say it? You've got the pronunciation spot on for that. He skipped
Raz Al-Khaimah. Yeah.
Raz Al-Khaimah. He skipped Raz Al-Khaimah. So he took a week off before Bahrain. And he was as cool as a cucumber on Sunday after he won. You know, did you watch his interview afterwards? I didn't get the impression that he's going to spend 48 hours celebrating with Sidon.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you think he's gone on a session? He doesn't seem that type, does he?
Well, I think he likes a cider, but yeah, I think he's aware that he's on the brink of something massive here. Like, if he wins again this week, and you know, the Masters debut will be looming large then. So I think this is such a golden opportunity. I think he would have got his head down and got over to Qatar. And yeah, I think back-to-back wins are coming. He plays well at Doha. His last start at Doha, he finished 12th in 2022. Consistently performs well in this region, as we've discussed previously. I see Cantor galloping to a third DP World Tour title on Sunday.
My question would be to you is, how often do we see back-to-back winners?
Yeah. How often do you see the previous week's winner start as the emphatic market leader and the emphatic best player on the field? Like, he's 51 in the world. The next best is Jordan Smith, I believe, who's 91. So yeah, very rare for you to get. I mean, obviously your Schefflers and your Tiger Woods do it regularly. It is possible. And I think, as I say, I think he's the sort of character he's very calm character. I think he's aware of this chance. He wants to play in the Masters. We all want to play in the Masters, Dave. And you know, is it worth having 48 hours on the side as if it blows your Masters chance? I don't think it is. So, as much as I like an occasional cider, I think he's going to prepare thoroughly for this.
Okay, well, listen, we'll bow to your expertise. And I mean, if it means we get another rendition of that song, then I'm all for it. Like, so we're all
might
in.
Right, the last one today,
here's,
yet, Dave.
Here's the, here's the main selection. Who else we got in the team this week?
The next best is Sam Bairstow. No, you are not listening to a recording of last week's Sweet Spot. We have the same main selection. We have the same next best. Sam Bairstow finished the Ras Al Khaimah Championship strongly. 13 under par for his final 54 holes, tied for 16th place. Then last week in Bahrain, he played some great golf. Two eagles, 16 birdies, tied for 32nd place. He didn't get on with those closing four holes. He dropped so many shots from the 15th through 18. But another encouraging desert performance. He was the most accurate driver in the field, Dave, in both round two and round four. He carried an ice-cold putter for three rounds, started holing some putts on Sunday. If that putter stays warm in Qatar, I think Bairstow is the main opposition for Cantor. Bairstow finished 13th on his Qatar Masters debut in Doha last year. He was a DP World Tour rookie at the time, of course, became a leaderboard regular. He won on the Challenge Tour in 2023. I think he's going to get off the mark on the DP World Tour fairly soon. He was second in the French Open in October. So, yeah, entirely feasible that he goes one better this week if Cantor underperforms.
And what price is he, Steve?
50-1 available.
And what price was he last week?
He got backed into 40-1. 41, yeah, slightly shorter than last week.
There's plenty of money around for him last week. There's bits and pieces for him this week as well, actually. So
keep the faith.
Yes, keep the faith. Right, you did say three, didn't you? So who else?
Matthew Jordan, 45-1, completing our team of Englishmen. If I was attending the Qatar Masters this week, Dave, I'd be doing so in an England shirt. I'll be singing God Save the King. I'll be singing God Save the Cantor. I'll be singing God Save the Bairstow and God Save the Jordan. Matthew Jordan ended last year with second place in the Nedbank Challenge, Dave, you might remember. Started this year with 2.5 points on a triumphant Great Britain and Ireland Team Cup side. Then he was 27th in a high-class Dubai Desert Classic. All was well with Matthew Jordan as he continued this quest for a DP World Tour breakthrough. But he missed the cut in Ras Al Khaimah, missed the cut in Bahrain. I'm putting the missed cut in Ras Al Khaimah down to some mental fatigue. We're talking scheduling. The Team Cup was a big deal for Matthew Jordan. 3 weeks on the spin was too much. I didn't think he had much left in the tank for Ras Al Khaimah. I'm putting the missed cut last week in Bahrain down to him taking eight at the par three second hole in round two. He dropped five shots on one hole. Native area, bushes, penalty drop. Everything that could go wrong on a hole went wrong on that one for Matthew Jordan. A bogey-free, four under par first round 68 was followed by a miscut by three shots. But I'm not going to let one hole of mayhem put me off. Matthew Jordan knows his A game is not far from the surface. I think a windswept Doha, ideal place for him to get back on track. He's always been exceptional in the wind, Dave. The last two opens, he's finished 10th, which underlines that point, underlines that comfort in a breeze. He won on the Challenge Tour in 2019. We've all been waiting for a DP World Tour breakthrough. He's a Sweet Spot regular. He was fifth in the Qatar Masters in 2022. He was joint leader after three rounds. He's had more experience of contending since. So, yeah, England expects, Dave. England expects.
Very patriotic. I love it. And just the expression native area, just, you know, that is my life on Shot Tracker, yeah? That's just how it is.
Well, we're going to name our greyhound native area, yes, weren't we? If we buy a greyhound, it's going to be called native area.
Right, yes. Free Englishman. Marvellous. Any other things of note on this event, Steve? It's been quite a lively market already.
Well, yeah, Jordan Smith is being very well backed. You know, Jordan Smith, a great mate of Laurie Cantor. You know, it's a great time for Bath golf. I mean, he's as short as 14-1 in places now, Jordan Smith. I don't like that gamble. I got some spies. I had some spies in Abu Dhabi last week, Dave. And Smith was testing a lot of new equipment in Abu Dhabi before he went to Bahrain. So maybe he's putting some new clubs in the bag over this fortnight. Then he injured his shoulder before round one in Bahrain. Did you hear about that? It was a sneezing incident, Dave. He got injured sneezing, pulled a muscle in his shoulder, open with a 75 in Bahrain. He played well from Friday onwards, so I guess the shoulder eased up a little bit. But I just think he's short enough in the bet. And I think Jordan Smith's role this week will be as cheerleader for his mate Laurie Cantor on Sunday.
There you go. No stone left unturned. Golf's greatest tipster has got spies everywhere. So
that's it.
There we
that's
go. It. Market that's mover it. Against Jordan Smith. Anyone else? Was there anyone close to being on the radar on the team?
No, Dave. It was very, very straightforward this week. I love those three. And then we've got hardly any tips. We'll come to the Phoenix Open now. And you'll see we've got very, very focused staking plan this week, Dave.
Marvellous. Now, this is one of my favourites. I think they call it the People's Open, didn't they? Their course is open all week. Take the family along. But that 16th hole, the par three, is just an arena of excitement. And I love it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a tournament of excess, isn't it? I mean, I think it just tipped over the edge last year and there was all sorts going on. It was Zach Johnson was having shouting matches with patrons. There was a couple of fellas wet themselves, I think, in the crowd. It just tipped over the edge, and the PGA Tour are a little bit aware that they need to rein it in a bit.
Gilmore going. I want it all like that. Give me all.
I was a bit concerned, but didn't Joel Damon famously took his top off on that green once, didn't they? I was a bit concerned they were going to reduce ticket numbers, but they haven't. So ticket sales are the same. I just think they're not going to let people overbeer to the same extent. I think they'll delay the sales because, you know, they get there early in the morning and they're smashing in the beers. And I'm with you. I think for one tournament of the year, it should be.
Yeah, it's not like it's every week.
No, it's a party. It is a party, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, I think the atmosphere will still be raucous. But let's hope there's nothing unfortunate happens.
Is that a factor when you're coming into this event? You know, you're looking at the temperament of players that have been in this sort of environment before.
Yeah, yeah. So it's an intimidating atmosphere. There's no other tournament really where you get booed apart from the Ryder Cup. You're booed for poor performance. But yeah, if you hit a bad shot on that stadium hole, they will boo you. And it's a merciless crowd at times. So yeah, I think it is. And if you look at the roll call of winners here, you know, elite players, you know, really good players. Yeah. You don't get that many elite players turn up here, but they tend to win this event. So yeah, they're proven champions. And it was a signature event in 2023, but normally you don't get that many superstars here, yet the roll call of winners is of quality players. So yeah, I think it definitely is a factor.
Can I press you for a key attribute of a player for this track?
Yes, you can. I mean, the greens and regulation statistics of the winners of this tournament are eye-catching. You know, churning out greens and regulation is the key to success at TPC Scottsdale. Just solid, consistent ball striking. These holes are in front of you. You just got to execute your golf shots.
Okay, shame Boring Rory is not taking part then in that case, if you just got to play it safe.
Well, Rory's playing a TGL this week, though. I know you like that. He's back in action.
Not a lot of love for that in the comments again. People are not liking the TGL.
No, I think it starts at 2 a.m. UK time tonight. Rory's playing, but I certainly won't be awake at 2 a.m. tonight.
No. Right, let's give you a show then. Right, there is a bit of 3-1 out there. The chef, Scottie Scheffler, but generally 11-4, 5-2. 12-1, Justin Thomas, Matsuyama is 14. Sam Burns is a 25s poke in a place. Big dog. The chef is back. He's our market leader. He's quite short, but are you getting stuck into the chef, Steve, this week?
No, I'm not getting stuck into the chef. I'll just give the course yardage for anyone who missed it. 7,261 yards, par 71, 3 par 5s. It's hosted since 1987. But no, we are not tipping Scottie Scheffler. We'll obviously have a big discussion about him afterwards. There is only one selection for us here, Dave. We got hardly any tips this week. 3 in Qatar, 1 in Phoenix, 2 in Live Riyadh, which is the start of the Live season. So just 6 tips across 3 tournaments.
Okay, right. One selection then. Give it to us.
Sam Burns. 22-1 Sam Burns. The only player in this 132-man lineup who appeals as a betting proposition. I was gutted to see some early money for him, actually. He opened at 28-1. I made him half that price. I think anything that starts with a 20 is terrific value about Sam Burns. Devour 20-1 and upwards, except 16-1 or better. I make him the most serious rival for his good friend Scottie Scheffler this week. I think it's crucial that he's good friends with Scottie Scheffler. I think that helps his cause. They're regular practice partners. Their wives get on really well. They even timed their first babies to be very similar. They both had babies last year at similar times. Burns is not intimidated by Scottie Scheffler like many of the players are. If you assume that Scheffler is going to be contending on Sunday, which most people do, I do, then Burns is arguably best equipped to overcome the Scottie Scheffler challenge. He beat Scheffler in a playoff in the 2022 Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial, you might remember. Then he beat Scottie Scheffler in the semi-finals of the WGC match play, you might remember, when extra holes, ding-dong affair. So Sam Burns knows how to beat Scottie Scheffler. And if it goes to, if it becomes a who can beat Scheffler contest on Sunday, then Sam Burns best equipped. That WGC win was Burns' last victory. He made his Ryder Cup debut that year. He's a five-time PGA Tour champion. At the end of last year, Dave, you must have noticed how well he was swinging. He was strongly threatening a sixth PGA Tour title. He was fifth in the FedEx St. Jude Championship, second in the BMW Championship, 12th in the Tour Championship. Played some great golf in the FedEx playoffs. Then he started this year with 8th place in the Century, 29th in the Amex, 22nd last week at Pebble Beach. Ice cold putter at Pebble Beach. You know, putting on the Poana Greens. Doesn't like the Poana Greens. If he holds his fair share of putts this week on more suitable greens for him, I think Burns is a surefire contender. He's finished 6th and 3rd in the last two Phoenix Opens. I expect him to be in the mix again on the Super Bowl Sunday.
And, you know, you flagged it up there, Steve. These are players that you should be looking for. If they can get somewhere near the frame, you know, top 20, top 30, top 40, without holding a putt, that's the missing piece. You know, at some point, the putter comes alive and it could be this week.
Absolutely. And, we're on different greens this week. Yeah, Poana is a nightmare for a lot of players, and Burns would be one of them. And, his driving was excellent last week. Just tighten up the approaches, hole more putts. And there's hardly anyone in this field who you'd fancy can live with Scheffler, but Burns definitely can. Yeah, I think Burns' performance will go up if he's alongside Scheffler in say the final group, whereas I think other players will be affected and intimidated by Scottie Scheffler.
Right, we've already spoken about Justin Thomas, so we know why he's not on the radar. Before we get to the Scheff, what about Matsuyama?
Well, I just say on Justin Thomas, it wasn't just his putting. His driving was loose last week. You know, it seemed like he had to hole out from the fairway or the bunker to make a score because his putting was so bad. I mean, he held that bunker shot at the end of round two. He holed out from the fairway for eagle on Sunday, actually, but 48th place was hugely disappointing. You know, those signs of putting encouragement we saw at the Amex have been forgotten now, I'm afraid. It'd probably float around the leaderboard, but I can't put myself through the Justin Thomas putting again. Who did you say? Hideki Matsuyama. Is that what you said?
Hideki Matsuyama.
Slightly more tempting. Two-time Phoenix Open champion. Like Scottie Scheffler, a two-time Phoenix Open champion. Brilliant in Hawaii at the start of the year, but regressive form figures. Won the Century, then 16, 32, 48. Really loose from tee to green last week. And playing a lot of golf, Dave. You know, Hideki Matsuyama has a brittle body. He's played a lot of tournaments this year. You know, I don't think it'd be long before we see the first WD. You know, Hideki Matsuyama normally WD. So no, I can't have Hideki Matsuyama. I toyed with Minwoo Lee as my my alternative, and I toyed with Scottie Scheffler. But I mean, the early money was there, you're struggling to get 3-1. You know, we saw some uncharacteristic shots from him last week. You know, he shanked an iron on Friday.
Yeah.
Shanked an iron on Friday, pulled a drive onto the beach on the 18th on Friday. Did you see that one? His driving
was...
I saw him down there.
He needed a bucket and spade, yeah.
he's messing about on the beach. So his driving was a little bit loose. His chipping wasn't very good. I mean, there was rust. But yeah, the fact is he was rusty, yet he still topped the approach place. And he was ninth in an elite field. So, now he's up against a much weaker field this week. His Phoenix Open record is amazing. You know, he's twice won it. He was going for the hat trick last year, putted really poorly on the final day. We were on him last year. Poor putting, finished third. So his course credentials are fantastic. You know, churning out greens and regulation is Scottie Scheffler all over. But I just think on his second start of the year, can we justify a bet at 3-1? I don't think we can. There was a few shots that just a few shots last week that were un-Scheffler like. I just haven't got enough passion for 3-1, though.
Well, listen, phenomenal golfer, phenomenal numbers, but we are looking at a Tiger Woods type price here, aren't we? 5-2, 9-4, somewhere around that price. And, you know, if you're getting involved in a bet in any golf tournament, you know, or everything's got to be bang on, A1. There cannot be any question marks. And he wasn't at his best last week. It has to be said.
That's right. That's right. I mean, he's had hand surgery at the end of December. Let's just see another tournament from Scotty Scheffler. Sam, an each way bet on Sam Burns is definitely a more sensible strategy, I would suggest.
But there are takers. On the odds comparison sites, as I say, there's a sea of blue next to the chef. So people are quite happy to get stuck in at sort of 3-1, 11-4. So we wish them well. We wish them well. Any other players? What about Straka? He showed up well last week.
Yeah. He just couldn't live with Shane and Rory on Sunday. They'd be a little bit under the weather last week, apparently. Lots of fallout from the Farmers Insurance Open. You know, the flu that's been circulating around the PGA Tour. I mean, Ludwig Aubert, a lot of people chanced him to bounce back last week as it's presumably over his flu, but he wasn't. Withdrew very early last week. So, Straka, I'm not sure he's 100% healthy. And, Sunday was a little bit of a humbling experience after his Amex win. I think, honestly, Scotty Scheffler would be the one that would hurt me the most if he won, because as I said, I'm only going with one selection. Sam Burns, by far the most appealing. With three tournaments that we've got this week, Dave, it's very, very hard to resist, including Scotty Scheffler in a lavish treble. I can't justify it, Dave. I've got to stick to my principles. And
you can't be hurt by a 5-2 winner on the golf. I can't have that. You know, you can let them win at that price, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's only if he's part of a, you know, if Laurie Cantor wins and then our number one in Live Riyadh wins and we didn't have Scheffler in our treble, we might be beating ourselves up a little bit. But I think Sam Burns is the one to have in that treble, and we'll discuss that treble at the end. Very exciting each way treble.
Okay, right. You mentioned Riyadh. That's where we're off to, Saudi Arabia, for the Livers. They are back. Riyadh Golf Course. Talk to us about the course, firstly. What do you know?
Riyadh Golf Club, Saudi Arabia, 7,464 yards, par 72, four par fives. This tournament has replaced Live Jeddah as the Saudi Arabia slot on the Live schedule. Live Jeddah used to be played at Royal Greens Golf Club. Live Riyadh is going to be played at Riyadh Golf Club. We've seen Riyadh Golf Club once before. It staged the Saudi International on the Asian Tour in December last year. It was won by Wakam Neiman. Generous fairways, loads of short par fours. Don't be fooled by that overall yardage. There's two enormous par fives at this day, a 627 yard third and a 681 yard par five tenth. You know, there'll be three shot holes for everyone in the field, I think. So this is a second shot course in my eyes. Hit your irons well, hit your wedges well, and you'll contend. A 54 man field, 54 holes of stroke play, no cut. And the weather forecast is for warm, dry, calm evenings, Dave. And the reason I'm talking about evenings, I don't know if you're aware, this is floodlit golf we're having this week. Floodlit golf. The action starts at 3:15 p.m. UK time on Thursday. That is 6:15 p.m. Saudi Arabia time on Thursday. The sun sets in Saudi Arabia at 5:45 p.m. We're golfing under the lights, Dave.
What do you feel about that, Steve? Just under the lights, in terms of, will it have a difference or make an impact on the form book?
It'll have a difference on the viewing figures, which is the reason they're doing it. They've signed a deal with some American broadcasters now, so they didn't want their first event of the season to be in the middle of the night. So there's no American viewers. There's no UK viewers. So it's good for us. We can watch it at 3:15 p.m. on Thursday. The Americans will be able to watch it. And that's why they've done it. But yeah, and it's a sort of, and we're talking about it, aren't we, Dave? We're talking about it, which is another reason that they've done it. It's quirky. It's a first for, PGA Tour have never done it. We've seen it in like the match, like the other day. You remember Rory McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler beat Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka. That was under lights. It started off in the light in Las Vegas, but then it got dark and then they brought the lights on. But we've, you know, I've never seen it on the PGA Tour. Yeah, we're talking about it, Dave. You're talking about it.
Yeah, let's
not.
Yeah.
Let's not. I fall missed into that.
Where can we watch this then? Is there? Where's it being broadcast? Is it China?
DAZN.
DAZN.
You've got DAZN.
Right. Hey, listen, if you like boxing, you've got to have DAZN.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Yeah, yeah. DAZN and on the Live Golf Plus app. I watch it on my phone on the Live Golf Plus app. So, yeah, we'll be able to tune in and we'll be tuning in.
What a shame it's not in Jeddah, because I could be chasing the cheddar in Jeddah. There we go. I'm sure there's plenty of dough up for grabs here, I'm sure. Listen, really good field. John Rahm, 7-1. Tyrrell Hatton, 7s. Neiman, 8s. Bryce DeChambeau, 8-1. Brooks Koepka, 16s. Cam Smith, I think there's 16s, maybe 20s out there if you shop around. As ever, really, really, really good field. Steve, how many are you putting up?
Two.
Okay, so we've got 3, 1, 2, 6 each way trebles. Yes. Right, who are they? Who's the main selection?
Tyrrell Hatton. 7-1 Tyrrell Hatton, who will not be at all concerned about golfing under the lights because he could probably play with just a torch attached to his cap and be okay, such as his level of accuracy and control. You know, Hatton, one of the straightest hitters in the game. From tee to green, he just hits straight golf shots. You know, a lot of players like draws and fades. Hatton just goes straight with every shot. The light will be better in the fairways and greens. You know, it is a factor this week that the light will be better on the fairways and greens than anywhere else on the golf course. You want to be playing controlled golf this week. Hatton can be trusted to produce that. He's just become so consistent, so dependable. Rory McIlroy was gushing about Tyrrell Hatton after the Dubai Desert Classic because he knows that Hatton is essential to Europe's chances of winning the Ryder Cup away from home later in the year. Winning the Dubai Desert Classic took Hatton to the top of the Ryder Cup rankings. Now he can start his Live Golf campaign feeling fantastic about the state of his career. He's 8th in the world rankings. He's going to be playing in all the majors. He's going to be playing in the Ryder Cup, let's be honest. He can now just bank a fortune on the Live Golf circuit. He won the Dunhill Links Championship in October. He was 2nd in the Abu Dhabi Championship, 6th in the DP World Tour Championship, 5th in the Saudi International at this track in December. He carded a second round 63, so he's already fallen in love with this course. Then he started this year unbeaten in the Team Cup for Great Britain and Ireland, 3.5 points from 4 matches. Then he won the Dubai Desert Classic, and he's taken a fortnight off to recharge the batteries. Most likely winner of this tournament for me. He won in Abu Dhabi in 2021. He won in Dubai last month. I think he completes a hat-trick of victories in the Middle East desert on Saturday. Finishes on Saturday, of course.
The angry man. Listen, I'll just slow down a minute. The floodlights, surely, you know, if you're in the rough, they're not like, there's your torch, mate. You're on your own.
The lights will be angled. It'll be darker in those areas than it will be in the fairways and greens. The greens in particular. But you ain't got to worry because Tyrrell Hatton won't be in the rough. Tyrrell Hatton will be straight down the middle like he always is.
Okay, right. I'm looking forward to seeing just how poorly lit some of the rough is going to be.
Well, where you hit it, Dave, it will be very dark.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, without a doubt, I would be walking around with a torch on top of mid. Right, he is a 7-1 chance. Tyrrell Hatton, the main selection. Who is the other pick?
Next best is David Pooge. David Pooge, 25-1, who comes into this event as grooved as anyone. He started his year with 3rd place in the Ras Al Khaimah Championship, closed with a 65 in that, outscored everybody in the field in the final round once he dismantled the Christmas cobwebs. Then he finished 4th in the Bahrain Championship last week, closed with a 64, outscored everybody in the field in the final round again. Laurie Cantor and the rest of the Englishmen in my Qatar Masters staking plan will be relieved they haven't got to worry about David Pooge this week. It's the Live boys that have got to worry about this young Spaniard. He's bursting with potential. I mentioned his world ranking last week, I think, Dave. He's up to 77th in the world now. An incredible ranking for a Live player. It shows how much he really shines when he gets on the DP World Tour and the Asian Tour. He's been a master at collecting world ranking points. He's above Jordan Spieth in the world rankings. He's above Ricky Fowler, Cameron Smith, Patrick Reed, Brooks Koepka. Pooge has got the game to succeed anywhere. I think he'll threaten a maiden Live title this week. He's got course experience, Dave. He played in that Saudi International in December. by then, I think he'd burned himself out a little bit. He's got the world ranking through Jet Set and all over the place, playing DP World Tour, Asian Tour. He burnt himself out for that one and got progressively worse. He played in Qatar the week before on the Asian Tour, 66, 70, 73, 75. Then he went to the Saudi International, 71, 70, missed the cut. But at least he's seen the course. That was his last appearance of the year. So I think he knew he was done. Took the rest of December off. Took nearly all of January off. He's come back absolutely buzzing. And ideal prep runs in Ras Al Khaimah and Bahrain. He's won twice on the Asian Tour. I think a first live win could come on Sunday if Tyrrell Hatton doesn't do it.
Yeah, top, top player. How, remind us of his age, Steve.
Oh, very, very young. Yeah, 23, 24.
Big,
yeah.
Big future.
He's got all the tools.
I look at this market. Do they just copy and paste the market for every live event? They just go seven the field, John Rahm, Tyrrell Hatton, off you go.
I think it's a question worth asking because I think John Rahm's a terrible price. John Rahm's 7-1. Who would you rather back? Tyrrell Hatton 7-1, John Rahm 7-1. John Rahm, there's a lot of players going into this that are fairly sharp. You know, they've been playing on the DP World Tour. They've been playing on the Asian Tour. In the last 15 weeks, Dave, Rahm has played one tournament. Wow. And he missed the cut. He missed the cut by two shots in the Dubai Desert Classic. So two competitive rounds in the space of 15 weeks. Course debut this week. Didn't play in that Saudi International. You know, most of this field did play in that Saudi International. So John Rahm, rusty and lacking course knowledge, the same recipe which resulted in a miscut of the Dubai Desert Classic. So I think Rahm is a terrible price. I think if you're looking at the top of the market, Tyrrell Hatton is the man to be on. But then Wackham Neiman is very tempting at 8-1. Wackham Neiman, the only other market principal who interested me, he won that Saudi International. He's the only course winner in this field. He also won Live Jeddah last year. So he's already won in Saudi. Two-time winner in Saudi Arabia. It was between Hatton and Neiman for the main tip. I just prefer the preparation of Hatton. Wackham Neiman got married on December 21, Dave. There's an obligation.
You don't miss anything, do you? You don't miss anything. Was it good, though? Not spread?
There's an obligation to down tools around your marriage. There's only one tool you should be concentrating on around your wedding day. I think he down tools over Christmas. And then, when he came back, I think he picked a poor venue for coming back. He came back last week on the Asian Tour in India. Quirky layout, that. Grainy greens. He finished third. But I think Dubai Desert Classic and Bahrain Championship, much better preparation than that Asian Tour event in India. The courses, the grasses, much more similar to Raz and much more similar in Dubai and Bahrain than that. So, I think Hatton and Pooj have nailed it in terms of prep for this. And I think Neiman hasn't. That's why I've gone with him.
Christmas rust and wedding rust as well. That's a new one. There we go.
Wedding rust. Yeah, that's there. Bryson DeChambeau played last week as well in that India event.
He's my new favourite player. I watched a video the other day where he just purchased a set of golf clubs. I'm sure he didn't have to pay for them at a Costco and just went to a random golf course and filmed himself. And he embraces the social media age.
He does. So, yeah, hopefully that's distracting him then because I 8-1 DeChambeau, distracted by the YouTube, played in India last week, which I think was poor preparation. And he didn't play in that Saudi International in December, we must mention. So,
DeChambeau, what I was making, Steve, is it looks like a poor market to bet into every time the livers. It's just kind of seven the field, three or four players, and then it'd be a break to like 16-1 Brooks Koepka and then everyone else.
Yeah, and a lot of chaff. There's a lot of chaff in the live field. Yeah, I mean, you can get called to the five each way terms with one firm. It was best price Tyrrell Hatton last time I looked. So, I think an each way bet on Tyrrell Hatton is rock solid. We've got so little to beat. And, questionable preparation for a lot of them. I mean, DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka did not play well in that under the lights. I mean, if you want to look at floodlight experience as a factor, which, is a thing. DeChambeau and Koepka had recent experience of it, but didn't like it. Got absolutely thrashed by McIlroy and Scheffler. You can look at that two ways. You know, they're the only two players in the field that have had a little taste of it, but they didn't get on with it.
Right, let's wrap up then, Steve. Will you be availing yourself a little bit of a treble this week? We've got three events, which is quite rare.
I certainly will be having an each way treble. And I'm really
lovely.
Excited about
good.
It.
Excellent. Yeah, let's have a roundup then. Well, we're taking off here. Let's have a roundup then. Right, three events. We will start. I know you like to go in chronological order, so we'll start with Qatar Masters.
Laurie Canter, super Sam Bairstow, Matthew Jordan. But you were very concerned I was going for it.
I was. Right, the boisterous Phoenix Open.
Samuel Holland Burns. We'll give him his full name as we haven't got one.
Well, selection. I'm very impressed. Nothing gets past you, Steve. Does it Holland? Yeah,
Holland. Yeah. Maybe he was conceived in the Netherlands. I don't know.
Okay. And and we're off to Riyadh for the Livers. Who are we going with?
Tyrrell Hatton, David Pudge.
Okay, six each way trebles there, which is lively. Win trebles, of course. Looking forward to it. It's gonna. How are you going to sit down and consume all this golf, Steve? There's going to be no canine birthday parties this week, I hope, because you won't be able to squeeze them in.
No, you're right. No, it's going to be a very busy golf watching session. It'd be lovely to get the each way treble up. Laurie Canter, Sam Burns, Tyrrell Hatton. I got 2,700 to 1 on that. A mortgage spitter. Want to be retired by Valentine's Day. Want to be retired by Valentine's Day so I can just concentrate on the loving. It's coming up soon, isn't it, Dave?
It is. Yes, it is. Yes, that reminds me. I'll have to get some sort of card or whatever needs doing there, I suppose. Did you do that? Would you do that, Steve? Card? Valentine's card?
Road. Well, I set the bar very high early on. It's one of those things, isn't it? If you don't perform early, nobody's... You
lower the expectations,
yeah. Yeah, I'm an old romantic, Dave. I'm an old softy. Lots of things are expected of me.
Oh, hi. Okay, flowers, birthday suit, the lot. It's all happening in the Palmer household. Right, do get involved with us. Let us know, you know, if you're having a treble yourself, are you chucking in? We're here for the golf, but if anyone has got some kind of wager for the Super Bowl, that's probably going to follow the golf for me. So let us know as well. Do get involved. Like, comment, and subscribe. We are the Racing Post, of course, the sweet spot in association with Three Super Tips. Enjoy the golf, gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.